For those who were here last week, you know that I spoke on this exact same passage, just as Bob said. And for those who weren't here, you could pass your excuses to the front. Last week we dug into this story from the perspective of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who ran to Jesus on behalf of his daughter, the 12-year-old girl who was dying. Today we'll look at the same story from the perspective of the woman that they meet in the crowd. And we see a lot of contrasts between the story of the man and the story of the woman. Right from the beginning, we see that Jairus had spent 12 wonderful years with his daughter, while this woman spent 12 years subject to bleeding, suffering, and scorn. And so they come from completely different backgrounds right from the start. And as we look at this woman's reaction to Jesus, we'll see a progression in her. It's a story that's a little different than the story of Jairus, because with Jairus, we saw him running to Jesus, meeting him face to face, falling to his feet in worship and begging him for help. With the woman, we see the exact opposite. We see her approach the crowd from behind. She sneaks in to touch the garment of Jesus, and then she falls away into the shadows. The more I thought about her story, the more I came to realize that I can really identify with the woman in this story. My story of salvation, I believe, is very similar to what this woman experienced. And we'll be talking about that this morning. Some might say that the woman stole her blessing. Some might say that as she snuck up behind Jesus, as she slipped in undetected, touched his garment, and then backed away into the shadows, that she stole the blessing and the miracle that God bestowed upon her. She went away to live in the shadows, or so she thought, staying under that veil of secrecy. It didn't seem to be her intention that day to share her testimony of what Jesus was doing in her life and what he did for her. At least if it was her intention, she did a pretty good job of hiding it. Because as the story tells us, when Jesus cried out, "Who touched me?" all denied it. And we see that she only comes forward when she realizes she couldn't hide any longer. I say I can identify with this woman because I remember the night of my salvation. I don't remember the date, but I remember the night. I was in college. I was alone in my dorm room. I was sitting chatting online with a friend. And he had asked me a few questions. And that night, he led me to make a decision for Christ. I was alone in that room. And you would think that at that point, I would have started arranging a parade. Or maybe at least since I'm in college, I could have gone room to room in the dorm, telling everybody about the saving grace of Jesus and what he had just done in my life. But I didn't do that. I was alone in that room, and I stayed alone in that room. It actually took me 7 years to share the story of that night with the friend who led me to Christ. It took me 9 years to get baptized about a month ago. So it's safe to say that I understand the woman's operation, where she got in, she got healed, she got out, and she went on living in the shadows for a little bit. But sometimes Jesus has other plans for us. And so we see great contrast in the story of the woman. Because 9 times out of 10 at this point in Jesus' ministry, we would see a great healing. We would see something tremendous happen. And then he would instruct the recipient of grace not to say anything. We actually see that in the story of Jairus. Jesus raises his daughter from the dead. And then he tells him and his wife, "Don't say anything about this." You can understand to a certain extent why Jesus was doing that. As hard as it was for him, he was trying to keep a low profile. With a ministry like his, it's kind of hard to do that. It's not the kind of thing that goes undetected. But there was a timetable. There was a time and a place for Jesus' death on the cross. And had everybody known about everything, then maybe the timing wouldn't have been right. And so Jesus would tell people, though they usually wouldn't listen, not to say anything. Because he had his mind on the cross. He had his mind on the ultimate gift of grace. But with this woman, we see the exact opposite. We see Jesus actually stop the crowd, bring her out of the shadows, and force her to testify in front of the people about what happened. Jesus knew the heart of the woman. He knew exactly what happened. And so it set in motion a turn of events that I do find to be very familiar in my own life, and maybe you do too. Jesus stopped everything. We've got to remember that in this story, Jesus is walking with Jairus. I talked about this last week. He's walking with a very well-connected, possibly very wealthy man to go and to help him with his daughter. And he stops everything to help a ceremonially unclean, poor woman. That's a huge step in a very large crowd. Because of Jewish law, the woman was unclean. She was unfit for worship. She was unfit for human contact. Anybody else who came into contact with her would have also been unclean and unfit for worship. So she ran a great risk going out into that crowd today. And Jesus ran a great risk in his ministry, stopping and addressing her and talking to her and bringing her out. Her goal was to take her faith, which, make no mistake about it, she had great faith. She knew what would happen when she touched the garment. But she was content to take her faith back to the shadows that she was living in, because she just slipped away after she received the miracle. It's very easy for us to hide in our faith. I consider myself living proof of that, because after my moment of salvation, I just went along with my life. I considered my salvation to be a little secret between me and Jesus. I didn't really need to share it. I didn't need to talk about it. I knew where I was going. That's a very human thing to do. And we all feel that sometimes. And so as the woman slinked back into the crowd, I get the feeling she was hoping to live that same way. She had her faith. She received her blessing. And she would have been content to just go on living her life until Jesus brought her face to face. And as I said earlier, we see a tremendous progression in her as this story unfolds. The first thing we see in her is fear. Because remember, she still tried to hide. Everyone denied touching Jesus. And when she realized she could be hidden no longer, she came out. And the scripture tells us that she was trembling. And this word in the Greek that's translated as trembling is also a word that can be translated as terror or dread. These weren't just nerves that she was having because she was meeting a celebrity face to face. She was afraid. She was genuinely afraid. As we mentioned, it was a man's world. And here she was coming out to take the spotlight, so to speak. She was unclean. And so the risk that she posed to everybody else there would have been made known. And she was interrupting Jesus as he was helping a synagogue ruler. She was afraid, and we can all understand why. I still remember the first time somebody called me out on my faith. I was a very young Christian at that point, maybe just a couple months. I was just out of college, starting my first job, and I went away for a week's training. And I was at lunch one day with a few other guys. And we're just sitting there talking, and somehow the subject of God comes up. And being the young, confident Christian that I was, I stood right up and I did say, you know, I know where I'm going. One guy in particular at the table, he pounced on me, not physically. He wanted to know more. He wanted to know how I could be so sure. And so that was the first time at lunch that day that I publicly professed Jesus Christ. I was terrified. Absolutely terrified. I was trembling. I guarantee if I was holding a drink, it would have spilled. And so just like that woman, up to that point, I was content living in the shadows with my secret of my faith. But Jesus had a different plan, and he stopped everything. It was as if he just pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Bob, it's time for you to come out of the shadows. I've got something more for you." And so me and that guy, we were off to the races, because anybody who knows me knows that I love a good argument. I like to win. And it was a good argument that day. We had a good conversation, I guess. But I was trembling all the way. The next thing we see in this woman is submission. Just like with Jairus that we talked about last week, where he ran up to Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he worshipped him. when this woman is called out in her fear, she falls at the feet of Jesus and she worships. Remember the difference between Jairus and the woman, that Jairus did it right from the beginning and the woman, she tried not to, but Jesus brought her out into the light and she worshiped. She's afraid, she's trembling. She knows what happened. Jesus knows what happened. In today's culture, we describe this situation as maybe a little bit awkward. Everybody kind of knows what's happening, but nobody's saying anything. But where we tend to look at a situation like that and we see awkward, I look at it and I see beauty. Because in that moment, she had nothing else to do but fall at the feet of our Savior and worship. That's beauty. When you come in your fear, you're trembling, and you know that the only thing you can do is worship. To some it may seem awkward, but that's a beautiful thing. It's about giving glory, ascribing glory where glory is due. And just a little bit of a secret. It's not due us. Had the woman's story carried out as she had planned, she would have slipped back into the shadows, lived the rest of her life. We don't know what would have happened, you know, whether she ever would have told anybody or if she just would have lived in that secrecy forever. She would have experienced the gift of grace without ever acknowledging the giver of the gift. She would have had her moment of healing. She would have happily gone back into her obscurity and just lived her life. Jesus knows that there's nothing that we bring of worth to the relationship with Him. Just as Chris was singing in her song that, you know, beautiful the mess that we are. We bring a mess. Jesus brings salvation. By His stripes we are healed. By His grace and mercy we can have eternal life. He gives and gives and gives. And so He deserves the glory. It's all about Jesus all the time. And so when we realize that, when we come to His feet in our fear and trembling, the only thing we can do is worship. And that's beautiful. And it's in that context that Jesus calls this woman to share. The last thing we see from her is public testimony. I mentioned last week that I really do feel that this woman's testimony had an impact on Jairus, the synagogue ruler. We can't ever forget that he was still standing there when she gave her testimony, when she came up and touched Jesus' garment, when she went into the shadows. Jairus was there. When she came out in her fear and trembling and she worshiped Jesus, Jairus was there. And when she gave her testimony and said why she did what she did and what had happened, Jairus was there. It was very important, I think, that he heard her testimony and saw her story. Because only moments later when Jesus asked him to cast aside his fear and to believe, even after he found out that his daughter was dead, Jairus had to trust. He had to obey. And he had to keep going. I wish I could have heard the woman's testimony. I wish I could have heard what she said and how she said it in that crowd, in her fear, in that moment. I know in the grand scheme of things, we always have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. But there's something tremendously moving about hearing the testimony of another believer and hearing the blessing that Jesus has bestowed on somebody else. That even in fear, even with adversity, she gave her testimony. And it had to be moving. How great it would have been to be standing there, to see that glory, and to see her point that glory back to Jesus. As I think back 9 years ago to myself sitting at that lunch table, I like to think I gave a great testimony to the glory of Jesus. I like to think that I at least gave him something to think about. Instead, I look back on that, and instead of recalling it as quite possibly the inaugural moment of my life in ministry, the first time that I was sharing and trying to share faith and the gospel with somebody else, instead of seeing that, I think about how I was unprepared. I think about how at that moment I probably would rather have been in the shadows. Because here's the thing, our culture today, and a lot of us buy into this. You can have your faith, I'll have my faith. Let's not talk about it. But what we see in the gospel, what we see in this story, is Jesus calling somebody out to give public testimony. A lot of times he told people not to, but he had his reasons for that. But in this case, with this woman, knowing her heart, he called her out to give public testimony. That stands in contrast to everything that we're taught on a daily basis. Share our faith. Don't hide in the shadows. Jesus reveals his glory, and he lets his light shine on us and through us so that we can lead others to him and bring that glory back to him as best we can. We're not called to be closet Christians, hiding and waiting. And truth be told, as I look back on that moment at the lunch table, I sometimes wish I had it back. I wish I could go back in time knowing what I know now and just maybe be the fifth person at that table. I think the conversation might have gone a little differently. I know that God used that moment to open my eyes to the fact that he had something more for me. But I still wonder about that guy. I wonder if he's still with the same company. I wonder if he's still living out in the state of Indiana. I wonder if the Holy Spirit has brought anybody else into his life to help cultivate the seed that I hope I planted. I know God had something for me in that moment because he stopped everything. I was living my life in the shadows, and Jesus stopped everything, brought me into the light, and had me share public testimony. I'll say that my life probably hasn't been the same since. And since then, I've had other encounters with non-believers, but I can honestly say that none of them have been that intense. But it's my goal, and has been since that day, to not encounter another moment like that without being ready, without being prepared to share my faith to the glory of Jesus. And I understand that not every one of us encounters those situations on a regular basis. I know that not many of us ever encounter a situation like this woman where we're in a crowd and literally our lives might be at risk. And we step out in faith and we do something and we're just so happy to get back in the shadows. We see the miraculous, and, you know, so that when we're called to draw on that testimony, there's emotion. You know, we've just gone through it. We're not all going through those situations. But I promise you this, Jesus is working every day in every life. And if we're not seeing the blessings and we're not seeing the hand of God at work, then I just think we're hiding. We're not looking. Because that's the other part of hiding. Yes, we're trying to keep everyone else from seeing us, but oftentimes when we're hiding, we're missing what's going on around us too. And so we've got to open our eyes. We've got to stand on that faith that we have. Bring it out into the light as Jesus calls us. Jesus said in Mark 4:21, he asked the question, is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or to be put under the bed? No, he didn't give us that light so that we could extinguish it by our lack of enthusiasm. He didn't give us that light so that we could just kind of keep it in our back pocket and not share it. That light's meant to be brought out to shed light on the entire world, a world that desperately needs the grace of God. And furthermore, the scriptures teach us to be on our guard. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a clean and good conscience. Peter says to have our defenses ready. Defenses. That means that we are going to be attacked. The challenges are going to come our way, but we're called to be ready so that when those moments come, we don't hide in the shadows. So that we can stand firm on Christ, share our faith, and hopefully do good for his kingdom. It's actually my hope and my prayer for each person here, if it hasn't happened yet, that one day, maybe soon, as you're going along in life, Jesus will stop everything and call you out of the shadows into the light. I believe it's what we're called to be as Christians. And when that moment comes, it's my prayer for you that you'll be ready. And I'll tell you, that doesn't come by accident. Don't get me wrong, the Holy Spirit can do some amazing things in the moment if we call. But the day-to-day readiness and the ability to share on a moment's notice as we're face-to-face with our challengers, that doesn't happen by accident. That comes by living in God's Word and by bathing ourselves in prayer and calling the Holy Spirit onto our lives. Because here's the thing, if we don't challenge ourselves to do that, the world will challenge us. And when Jesus stops us in those moments and he calls us into the light, it's much better to be prepared. Because we can't always go hiding back in the shadows. When we're called to the service, that moment of service for Christ, we want to be on our toes. We want to let his light shine through us so that we can point the glory back to him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that 9 years ago, you stopped everything for me. Those are life-changing moments. And God, I do pray that for the faithful here, that they would encounter those moments. Because, Lord, in those moments, we are reaching out to people who need you. Lord God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. Give us strength and persistence to study your word, to get to know you, to get to know your character, to get to know your creation, so that when we are challenged, we are ready. Father, I pray that you would bless this congregation. Bless these people here today. Help them to grow in your word and your spirit. Help each one of us to be strong, to not live in the shadows, to stop hiding, and to stand firm on the rock who is Christ. And it's in his name that I pray these things. Amen.